so we can start for the day. So our first speaker for the day is Irina Egorova, who's gonna tell us about the total shock and rarefaction problems. So Irina, the stage is yours.
Thank you for presenting me. Of course, I would like to thank organizers for inviting me to participate in such a nice and motivating event. And I'll present some recent result obtained in collaboration with my colleagues Yagana Mihar and Gerard Teschel from Vienna University. I'll talk about the long-time asymptotics of step-like total lattice solutions. That is about total shock and rarefaction problems. Okay. Here is the total lattice in Flaschka variables. And initially, the total shock and rarefaction problem were associated with such type of initial, pure step initial data, where the case of negative B corresponds to the shock problem and positive to the rarefaction one. On a physical level of rigor, qualitatively, the behavior of such a solutions is well understood. For example, for the shock wave, it is known after the work of Bloch and Kadama, who used the WISM modulation theory, and after the work of Inakidis Dave Bach, who used Lux-Livermore approach, it is known that there are two regions where the solution is asymptotically close to a modulated finite gap solution, and in the middle region, the solution is asymptotically close to a periodic solution of period two. However, these results are not fully rigorous, and recently Percy David listed the total shock problem among open problem of the theory of integral system and proposed to study it by use of nonlinear steepest descent. Motivated by this idea, we implement rigorous asymptotic analysis for arbitrary, say, general step-like initial data, which tend to different constant backgrounds on different half axes in a way that the perturbations decay or polynomially or exponentially fast. And we intend to present exact asymptotics in all principal regions of space-time half plane and justify them. And one has to mention that a proper statement of Riemann-Hilbert problem appeared already in this work. The authors study the rarefaction wave, the transition region. They described asymptotics in this transition region. And the case of one and the same constant background, that is a decaying case, is analyzed rigorously, also by use of nonlinear steepest descent by Krüger and Teschel and Billman and Trochten. Okay, let's dwell briefly on basics on inverse scattering transform method for the total lattice. Space Lux operator here is the Jacobi operator, and for the Jacobi operator with step-like coefficient, the direct inverse scattering theory is very well developed, not only on the constant backgrounds, but also on the finite gap ones. And in particular, it is known, it is proved that if the initial data satisfy such a condition at the moment t equal to zero, then the solution of the total lattice exists, unique, and belongs to the same class. One has to say that for KdV in the framework of inverse scattering transform, this is not true. There are losses in the number of movements and derivatives. Okay, from the fact that we listed here, it is clear that whatever Riemann-Hilbert problem we choose, it will be always solvable. Perhaps the solution will not be unique. And now we restrict ourselves only with the case of non-overlapping spectra of backgrounds. And without loss of generality, just by shifting and scaling of spectral parameter, we can assume that our right background is simply the free Laplacian, that is, the spectrum is located on the interval minus 1, 1. So we have the operator, underlying Jacobi operator, with the spectrum on the union of two intervals. This is a spectrum of multiplicity 1 and a finite discrete spectrum. The spectral Jacobi equation has two use solutions, which are normalized as free exponent of the background operators, where Z and Zeta are Joukowsky transformation of the initial spectral parameter lambda. Both your solutions are well defined in this domain on Z plane, with a cut along the image of the left background spectrum. Okay, the Wronskian of two-year solution is an important characteristic in step-like problems because it yields a connection between the left and right transmission coefficient. The Wronskian can have zero values at the edges of continuous spectrum. In this case, we talk about the resonance at the point, at the end point of continuous spectrum. What is right scattering data? Say a minimal set which we need to reconstruct our step-like solution uniquely. This is the reflection coefficient, which is given on the right background spectrum, a function which is given by this formula on the left background spectrum. This function is just the product of the left and conjugated right transmission coefficients. And then also eigenvalues and normalizing constants. In the domain Q, which we introduced, let us introduce a vector function. Here T is time-dependent right reflection coefficient. This vector function will be meromorphic and with poles at the points of the discrete spectrum. And it has limits as lambda 10 to infinity, that is Z to zero, and we finite limits. And we can obtain our step-like solution from this formula shown here. But as you know, the Riemann-Hilbert problem is always parameterized by two parameters, space parameter and time parameter. And here, in fact, we have to consider two different Riemann-Hilbert problems to reconstruct our coefficient A of the solution. And sometimes if the oscillations are too fast, we cannot use this formula, apply this formula. Then we expand this product up to the second term and also obtain information about A coefficient. Now, having this vector given in this domain, let it extend it outside of this domain on the whole complex plane by such a formula where sigma 1 is the first Pauli matrix. Then the obtained vector, the function, will naturally have jump on the contour with orientation as depicted here. And it turns out that this vector is the unique solution of the following Riemann-Hilbert problem. We seek a sectionally meromorphic vector valued function which satisfies the jump condition given here. It involves our minimal set of scattering data, and this is the so-called right space function, which is the key exponent of our jump matrix. Also, it satisfies the residue condition at poles as usual, very important symmetry condition, the normalization condition, which is given in such a way. And if you compare the normalization condition, which that one which appears in the KdV case, in the KdV case, we have exact values 1, 1 of the vector at infinity. And here we don't have exact values, only dependence between the components of the vector. And the last condition just describe us the behavior of the vector in the resonant on the non-resonant case. And as you see, the jump matrix in the resonant case has a singularity known from L2. However, we can prove uniqueness of the problem. And namely, this fact that we can easily prove the uniqueness of both initial and model Riemann-Hilbert problem, which appear later, that was the reason for choice of the vector statement of the Riemann-Hilbert problem. Another reason, which is also important, one has to say that in the shockwave case, the matrix model solution does not have invertible matrix solution with just L2 singularities for sufficiently large certain parameters of space and time. From the other side, if we choose the vector Riemann-Hilbert problem, and we want to have a uniqueness, we should respect the symmetry condition. This is a key ingredient to ensure the uniqueness. And it means that for all transformation which we do to, which lead to the model Riemann-Hilbert problem, the deformation of contours should be symmetric. Also, there are some constraints on the appearance of solutions of some scalar Riemann-Hilbert problems. For example, this condition ensures the normalization condition, and also the symmetric condition require a special form of the Cauchy kernels. In our case, a proper choice is a matrix Cauchy kernel. Such a constraint, again, does not exist in the KdV case because the symmetry there is different. Let us now consider in more detail the Todashov problem. Now in the middle region, we don't have any more. This is a picture for the spectrum on these intervals, pure step initial data. In the middle, we don't have anymore the solution of period two. It will be rather finite gap one, gap quasi-periodic, but it can be periodic if the ratio of frequencies of quasi-momentum happen to be rational. In this case, we will have a periodic solution of this period. One has also to mention that we could make a statement of the Riemann-Hilbert problem by via the left scattering data. And in the step-like problems, it's often happens that the right choice of the Riemann-Hilbert problem simplify a lot further consideration. And for example, in this modulation region, we use the Riemann-Hilbert problem via the left scattering data. In what follows, we will call this region video region after Vinokidis, Dave, Tabar, and these are right and left modulation regions. Once our slow parameter Xi is inside these regions, the jump matrix starts to grow on a part of the contour. And to get rid of this difficulty, we replace the initial phase function on a function with better properties. usually this function is called G function, and the transformation is G function transformation. To explain what is, to understand better what is the G function in our case, let us return to the spectral parameter lambda and consider the Riemann surface associated with this function. Let omega naught and omega be Abel differential of the second and third kind, normalized with by zero A periods. Here A period is shown on the picture. Then their linear combination is again the Abel integral, also normalized. Moreover, the respective differential has such a structure. When both zeros of this differential are inside the gap, this function will be a good choice for the video region. One of them is always in the gap, and they move monotonously with respect to psi in this direction when psi grow. And when one of them reaches the end of the spectrum, we are not anymore in the video region. We step into the modulation region, and here we will need another G function. We allow the branch point of our Riemann surface now to move slowly, and the requirement of on our Abel integral is that one of the zeros of this integral should coincide with the branch point. They move together. It turned out that this condition define our point alpha of psi uniquely, and it moves monotonously along the left background spectrum. And since this is the signature table of G function in terms of variable Z, and this is the zero level line of function real part G is equal to zero, which shows that the jump matrix after our key transformation will be oscillating. And then we can start the standard process of upper, lower, lower, upper factorization of jump matrices, and then opening lenses. And the first step is, of course, to replace the pole condition on the additional jump condition around a small circle around the eigenvalue. And let us skip all this machinery. We will come to a Riemann-Hilbert problem, which is equivalent to the initial one, but now the unique solution of it is a sectionally holomorphic function, which has only weak singularities at the ends, some node points, say. And it's all, of course, it's symmetric and possess and satisfy the normalization condition, but it solves the jump problem on our contour, where the jump matrix is almost everywhere close to the unit matrix, except of this interval and small vicinities of stationary points of G function. And on the interval, the jump matrix is asymptotically close as T to infinity to a piecewise constant matrix, where this part of this matrix is just the jump of our G function. And this value came from an additional scalar Riemann-Hilbert problem, and namely this value contain an information about those scattering data which influence on the asymptotic in the right modulation region. What we see here, it's a Blaschke product over the discrete spectrum, which is situated to the left of the bottom of the continuous spectrum. Some term which is connected with the resonant or non-resonant behavior of our jump matrix, and function chi, which is which belong to the set of minimal scattering data. And the vector model problem with this jump matrix has unique solution. Unique solution in the class of vectors with weak singularities, symmetric and satisfying the normalizing condition. There is a formula for it via the Jacobi theta function, but it's the appearance is quite cumbersome and uninformative, and I will skip it. An important question, how to compare the prelimiting vector and limiting vector which we found for which we found exact formula. These vectors they have jump on different contours, and we cannot compare them immediately. But instead, we introduce such an error vector, where these matrices are the following: this matrix is just a solution of local parametrics problem, which was done in terms of Airy functions, and this matrix can be. We can choose it in non-unique way. First of all, we have to admit poles for this matrix, and the requirement for it is first that the error vector should not have poles at the poles of this matrix. It should respect the symmetry condition for the error vector, and it should have such a dependent such a connection with the unique solution of the model problem. And we constructed this matrix, and using the small norm arguments, we proved necessary equality, which allows us now to use the asymptotics from model vector to derive the asymptotics of our initial Riemann-Hilbert problem. To understand what are these asymptotics, let me show first what is one gap solution. This is formula via the set of functions, and these values are just B periods of the respective Abel integrals. And in our case, all this object will be slow varying depending on the parameter, a slow variable parameter xi. It means that on array, we still have finite gap solution. But in principle, this formula can be considered as modulated one gap solution. And the result which is obtained is the following. Our step-like solution, which represents the shock problem, is asymptotically close to the one gap solution, which we showed before, but for the A coefficient, unfortunately, the formula was obtained in such an average way because we could not compare two different Riemann-Hilbert problems. The oscillation were too fast. Now, a few words about the video origin. Here, the G function is just, is just the Abel integral, the exponent from the Baker-Heser function, and assume that the discrete spectrum is not empty in this region. Let us introduce parameter xi, which are defined when the zero line cross the eigenvalue. Then our video region splits into disjoint sector. In each sector, the asymptotics will be the following one. This is ordinary finite gap solution with the spectrum, with the initial spectrum, and the phases are different in each sector, and the difference between these phases is given by this formula. Also, there is no local parametrics in this problem. That is why the error term here is exponentially small. And this picture demonstrates what happens if you have one soliton and the spectra of equal length. The change of phase leads to such a transformation for the solution. Okay, now about rarefaction problem. We also considered the respective Riemann-Hilbert problem. The local parametrics here is also found in Airy functions, and the asymptotics are the following one. This function is an exact solution of the total lattice, linear one, and this is our rarefaction wave, and the function, the solution is asymptotically close to this rarefaction wave in this way, uniformly in such a region, and the same is true in the other region. This is also exact solution of the Toda lattice. Last slide shows that, in fact, of course, the nonlinear steep is decent method is very powerful method which allows us to derive asymptotics everywhere. But in soliton region, perhaps it's better to use classical inverse scattering transform, because if we just allow our initial value to decay with such a speed, we can make a rigorous analysis of the Marchenka equation, and we derive that the solution is asymptotically close to the background plus solitons, which correspond to eigenvalues which are situated to the left of the interval. And also, you know, we don't have reflectionlessness or something like this in Marchenka equation, because, for example, in our case, the reflection coefficient is moduli equal to one. So we always have the integral terms here, but one can rigorously analyze it, and this is all the result. And to show that the solution splits into a train of so-called asymptotical solitons with one and the same amplitude, and the moving phase. And And as a conclusion, I would like to say that it would be nice, first of all, to derive these asymptotics by use of nonlinear steepest descent method, and also the methods which we used and that were developed, they allows us to apply them immediately to study the asymptotics on finite gap backgrounds. On the physical level of rigor, it was considered by Bigbayev, Novokshonov, and Sharipov for KdV equation, but we hope that one can do the same for the total lattice and derive exact asymptotics on finite gap backgrounds. And I think, thank you.
Thank you very much, Irina. So if anybody has any question, please feel free to either drop them in the chat or to unmute yourself and go ahead. May I ask a maybe silly question? So you are working with the first equation of the Toda hierarchy. Would it be possible to replicate your result or apply your method in the context of the reduction of the Toda lattice, where you just have even times? So that's called the Volterra lattice. I was wondering if you could just, what would you expect in such a context?
Sorry, even time, you said?
Yes, so if you go to the second equation of the hierarchy and you look at the hierarchy where you just have even time, so you just start with the second equation and you would just have the parameter B in that case, And I was wondering what would happen in that scenario if the same sort of method could be applied.
I don't know. I never worked with Todd hierarchy and just one has to check. I don't know.
Okay.
Sorry.
Thanks. If I can see any hands raised, so if there aren't any other questions, of course there is the break. We're going to have breakout rooms, so I guess feel free to stop Irina later on if you have questions. But in the meanwhile, I'd say.